ZU on iTunes U. Mitnehmen zum Mitdenken.
Sommerfest der Zeppelin-Universität zum Thema Die Bildung der Bildung. Professor Dr. Jaco Friedemutsch, Economic Reforms and Returns to Education in Eastern Europe.
I decided for this paper, which is co-authored by Matus Senai, who is now at the National Bank of Slovakia and who was my PhD student at the Comenius University in Bratislava. Okay, so, well, the topic of the conference is actually too broad. So about Bildung für Bildung or the Bildung der Bildung, we can take very much topics, very much papers, and the idea of the summer conference is also to make some, well, interesting look at the research which we present, and I hope that I will manage that. There are many formulas and many tables in my paper, but I will just go through over that, and if you have any questions, just ask, but I will try to make the idea to you, what I presented in my paper, and what is in some way behind that, and behind all the formulas and all the numbers which I will present. And basically, we are living in Europe. We know that in Eastern Europe there was also a unique natural policy experiment in the, well, after the Second World War, and the countries introduced some very specific political regime which was based on the communist power. And this was an overwhelming control of all sides of the society, including also the education. And the education was actually very strongly influenced by the communist ideology. It was influenced because there were some preferences for some specific jobs. So, for example, everything was centrally planned. For that reason, it was not necessary to have some management. Everything was controlled by the party. For that reason, it was not necessary to have some management. So marketing and management was missing completely in these countries. People received only some basic education about the management, which was based in some way on the rules that you're doing what we are saying. So this is in some way a very rudimental education and the management. And people were also happy to buy something. There was in general shortage of many products. So people were just buying what was available in the market. Another big difference was about the languages, because everything was oriented inward looking, so people were basically looking towards the domestic market, and if there were any relationships to some foreign countries, it was mainly to the Russia. So for that reason, there was also not widespread knowledge of English language or foreign languages in general. And this is something which is now missing to people. So we had then in 1990 a reform of the country where basically the Western market economy was completely introduced to them. And we have still people who are living in the country, and it is very difficult to change the people, to change the education of the people. So the people had some education, they had also some experience in the work, but they didn't speak English very well, they didn't have any experience with the marketing and with the management, and they were also learned in some way very much in some technical jobs. And there is another paper which is titled Too Many Rocket Science, Too Little Marketing Experts, which exactly describes what was the situation. So we had in these countries actually very good education, but the education was not perfectly designed to the needs of the market society. And the question of my paper is, what are the results of that? Because we know that it is very difficult to change the structure, so most likely there will be some very long-run effects, possibly even some permanent effects of the education structure, which was achieved by the people before 1990. And this can have also quite important implications for the political economy, because if the people don't have the proper education, they are not earning much money. they have some bad jobs. They are unsatisfied in the jobs. They are also unsatisfied in the society. This is something which we can observe very well, not only in Slovakia, but in all Eastern European countries, including also the new federal states in Germany. People are not happy with the new regime. They fought for the reforms, but they are unsatisfied with the design of the reform as it is now, because they have the feeling that they were losing actually. And this is in some way introducing also some danger to democracy in these countries, because the possibility that some right-wing parties or left-wing parties will be voted by these people who are very unsatisfied can be higher. And this is something which we can see very well in the new federal states in East Germany. We can see it also in Hungary, in Slovakia, in all countries in this region, that there is a tendency to that some extremist parties can participate in the political power, that they receive a relatively higher share. And the question is whether we can in some way counteract also these tendencies, and how can we do that. And well, we are discussing these issues on the example of Slovakia for several reasons. So first, because originally we are both from Slovakia. My co-author is living in Slovakia. Second, we have very good data on Slovakia, which is very difficult to get for the other countries. And well, third, Slovakia is also a very interesting example, because when we are speaking about the countries which are on some margin of democracy, then we can say that Slovakia is one of these countries. We saw that the nationalistic movements are very strong in this country. We had, I don't know whether you know the name Mečiar. So he was the person who was at the power for quite a long time, who in some way isolated Slovakia. He nearly stopped the integration process, but actually there was then a reversal of the economic reforms, and Slovakia continued the economic reforms. And now Slovakia is one of the most successful countries in the region, because it is already a member of the Eurozone. It is a member of the OECD. So it is a very successful country, but it is still a very fragile democracy. And we are then also addressing one issue, which is in some way a counterbalance to that. And when we look at the past development, we could also see that people received some presents several times from the government. So the voucher privatization was in some way the most famous such present, because people just received some shares of the nationalized companies just basically for free. And it is very difficult to explain it in economic terms. So why should we give some money just so to the population? Maybe it is better to sell the companies. And what is even much more important, because it is in some way a permanent thing, people received also the apartments where they were living for relatively cheap prices, for very cheap prices actually. So it was something like that people received the apartments in Prague or in Bratislava for something like 3 monthly rents. So that's in some way nothing, because there was a boom in housing prices. So this was actually a big present to the population, which was much larger than the voucher privatization was, because that was much less successful. And we compare in some way then the welfare effects of both these developments, and we show that the welfare effects are pretty same in the case of Slovakia. So that means that people in Slovakia who belong to the old generation earn some lower money because they have worse education, but they have, despite of this, much better apartments. So the lower income is lowering the utility function, but the better accommodation, the better apartments is improving the welfare of these people. So that's in some way a counterbalancing effect, and this can also explain why the situation in Slovakia is quite fragile, but why it is a democratic country and why democracy is pretty successful in this country. And we can discuss, for example, the case of Russia, where the Russian policy was in some way much harder with respect to the old people, and where people are much less satisfied with the government and are much more prone to vote some extremist parties. And this would be in some way also the conclusion of our paper, that it is important to take care about the heterogeneous society which we have in Eastern European countries, to provide also some welfare improving effects for the people who are in some way worse off because of some difficult past developments, in some way in order to stabilize the political developments in the region. So basically, this was the paper. So in some way, it is, I don't know, so I like this story, but it is not liked by everybody. Do you like it in some way? Do you believe it? Do you believe that we made some point? But Germany is in some way also a transition economy because we have also the new federal states in Germany, and everybody of us knows also some people from the new federal states. So in some way that is a topic which is also actually very similar to our point. So I hope that it is in some way understandable that you can believe that. So, but this was just a story. I could sell this story, but I could also sell a different story. And we are economists, and we would like to prove the story. And we would also like to see some details on the story. And this is on the remaining slides. So this is in some way a very technical presentation. Then I presented one version of the paper at the meeting of the Econometric Society, which is the most famous economic society around the world. And well, I designed the presentation basically for that, and I deleted some slides maybe from today round, but basically it is the same presentation. So when we are speaking about education and returns to education, there is actually a lot of paper. There are many papers addressing this issue. This is also the topic which is the most closest to the topic of the conference. The traditional model goes back to Mintzer, and the paper was published in 1974, and well, everybody of us made already some negotiation. Well, maybe not everybody of the students, but everybody otherwise made already some negotiations. We come to a new job, we start to speak about something, we make the points how well we are educated, how well experienced, how well intelligent, nice, and anything like that we are. And Mintzer in some way summarized this in different variables, which, well, education is one more or less the most important variable. We also know that there are some variables we are, as economists, not so happy about, that we know that there is also some gender differential, which is, well, in some way not nice in some way, but it is in the economy, so we consider also that, and Mintzer considered it also. And then there are several papers just looking, using this model and estimating it for Eastern European countries. Schweina is very famous because he was really making many analyses like that. Earl is also quite famous, and he made a very good, quite early analysis of Romania. And well, Earl is a paper which is very similar to us because he also asked the question whether there are differences between people with old and new education. And in Romania, he actually found out that there are no differences, that people with the education from the old times are receiving the same amount of money like later people. And our results are actually the opposite one. So it can be the case that Romania was different because Romania was economy which was much worse developing as the Slovak Republic, but it could be also because of the data source, because we have actually very good data, and maybe our data is better than the data which Earl had.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, of course.
Can you go back to the slide before?
To this? Oh, that's a beautiful question. They use survey data. So I'm not completely sure because I cannot remember but definitely they don't have a panel. They have maybe data for several years, but they don't have the information that the same guy had the salary of this in 1 year and so on. I think that they had something which we call pooled data. And they had something like 3, maybe 5 years, not very long period of time. Okay. So when we discuss the data quality, then actually we have quite good data, because usually the income data are analyzed using the enterprise data on wages, which is quite natural, because when we are speaking about wages, then it is very natural to use the wage data from some companies. The problem in Eastern European countries is that the shadow economy is quite large, and that people usually have more jobs. They are not working only for one firm, but they have also more firms, or they have also some private firm. So the total income of these people may be different from the income which is available in data from one particular company. And well, we have data from consumption surveys, so we know the total income of the households, which is also a little bit disadvantaged, because we don't have very precise information on what is my income and what is my wife's income. But and we are also using households as the unit of observation. But behind that, we know everything about the people. They also don't have any incentive not to provide the data, because they are not paying taxes for that. We know also whether they are selling something, whether they are receiving some presents from some other people. So the data is actually very precise and very nice. We have something like 4,500 households in each year. We have for each household just data for one particular year. So these are in some way the repeated surveys, and we have relatively long time series, because we have the surveys from 2004 until 2009, which is quite nice, because this was just before the accession to the European Union, so there is not a big problem with the European Union membership. This is just before the financial crisis. So this is in some way quite good data set. And anyway, we cannot use earlier data, because the methodology of that was very different. So unfortunately, the surveys are not available for earlier years. We could use maybe some later data, but the paper is already older a little bit. So we could think about this. And well, when we look at the income, we can see that this is the income profile. What is maybe quite interesting is that we can see that the highest income is already at 40. This is something which is a little bit too early in comparison to Western European societies. We can also see that the income decline is pretty strong, that at 60s people are earning actually quite little income. Yes? Well, we don't have the comparable data, so it's somewhat difficult to say, but I would say that it is rather 50. And also the income distribution should be much flatter. It shouldn't be so basically what we have here is that we have distribution like this coming down very strongly. I would expect that it's maybe going like this, coming down much less. And it is also a little bit flatter. So actually what is coming also here is that the differences in income between the households are pretty large. So we can see that here we have from 400 till something like 800. So that means that the income of the richest household per household member is twice of the, well, not richest household, but this is just the age of the household. So the households which are in something like 42 have something like the double income of the households just above 20. And also just at 60s, which is quite a large difference because these are not individual data but already quite aggregate data. We can see that this, excuse me? One explanation is also that we have this income differential. So also people, older people are earning less money. It is something which also comes then in the results of our paper. So it is exactly the explanation which I had. So people with older education have lower wages in Slovakia than people with later education. We have also to consider that younger generation now is more educated than the older generation. So this is also contributed to the differential of the income. Okay, and what is then the second feature is the home ownership. Here we can see the second differentiation where we can see that nearly 100% of older households are actually owner of real estates, which is also surprisingly high share, which is much higher than in Germany, for example. And we can see that this share is in some way increasing very fastly. And when we take something like age 40, we can see that this is the age where nearly each household has some property. And this is quite nice because this is in some way the age with the highest income. After this, the income is lower. And well, we had data from 2004 till 2009, the economic reforms were in 1989. So basically, it was 20 years after the economic reforms, plus minus something. So that means that this 40, age of 40, are exactly the people who entered the labor market in the time of the economic reforms. And when we look here at these figures, so this is already the first piece of evidence, which is actually also very illustrative. Because the people who just entered the market in 1990 are now owners of the property where they lived. They received some apartments from the communist government of that time, but they are having much lower wages. So the story which I told you at the beginning is in some way now described with some figures here. And we can see that the differences are actually quite large, and that the differences are also much stronger than we would expect and which we know from Germany or from some other economies. So this is in some way the first proof. It is already quite good, but it is not yet precise enough. That was much less, but this is also about the value of the property, but it is very similar to the previous figure. And now the second question comes that we would really to make the proof an exact proof, like we like in the economics. So that means that we will like make some hypotheses, we will estimate the hypothesis, we will create some measurement variable, some dummy variable for the old cohorts in the labor market. So these are those people who entered the labor market in 1990. And who were about 40 in the time when we had the data on them. And we will test this and we will make some null hypothesis that the coefficient is equal to zero. That would mean that there is no difference between the old and young people in the economy, and we will reject this hypothesis. So this is in some way the way how we are thinking. It may be a little bit crazy if you are not exactly economists, but well, it is in some way exactly the same story. So this is just the terminology which we are using. Okay. In order to do that, we would also we need also something about the housing data. So we have actually two different data sources. We have first the data on consumption profile and income profile, which are coming from consumption surveys. And well, it is very difficult to get some data in general, in all economies, including Germany, on the properties, because this data is not generally collected. And we are estimating the value of the property in Slovakia, because in the surveys we also ask, or the statistical office asked the people whether they live in a property which they own, and how big the property is, what is the location of the property, and so on. And we have relatively detailed sources on the values of squared meters of different properties in Slovakia. So we know that, for example, in the center city of Bratislava, one square meter is a value something like that, and in the rural area, it has much lower value. We know that the differences are according to the size, according to the type of the properties, and we are using that. We are having something like, we have 120 different prices for square meter. So that's in some way quite detailed information. And we are using that and the information on the apartment where the persons are living to estimate the value of the property, which is quite a difficult exercise, but it was in some way quite well done. And, well, then we can use all this data and we make three different steps. So first, we estimate what are the income differences. Then we estimate what are the housing differences. And finally, we are interested in the welfare. Welfare is in some way very subjective measure. It's very difficult to say what is welfare exactly. So we take consumption of the households, because consumption is closely related to the welfare. Not every time, so after the party, sometimes we think that it would be better to have a little bit less consumption, but usually it is in some way related to the consumption. This is the equation which we estimate. So here we have the coefficients, and well, the coefficients have usually some meaning. So for example here, we know that if the head of the household is a female, so it can be either single household or it can be also household of women with children, so then the income of the household is something like 5%, 4.8% lower than otherwise. We see that if people have only primary education, then the income of the household is lower by 12%. If people have university education, it is higher by nearly 19%, which is actually quite nice differentiation, which is pretty large, much larger than it was in the past in Slovakia. What is very nice here, so we see here that if the man has university education, then the income is 19% higher. If women has university education, it increases the income only by 14%. Well, this is not nice, but we are just describing it. We should change it in some way, but the first way how to change it is to know, to speak about that. So that's in some way also the contribution to that. So these are the most interesting parameters. These are the different equations. So we, in general, we want to show, to prove that the results are something what we call robust, that they are not changing very much. So we start with a simple model, which is income one, then extend this model by a dummy for people who entered the labor market in 1990. And then we can see that these people receive 7% less money, which is actually quite a lot, because that means that men who finished the education, who entered the labor market before 1990, are even worse than women, in some way, in drastic words. But that also means that in the case of women, we have the sum of both of both coefficients. So we have then the gender differential, which is 5%, and we have the education differential or time differential, which is 7%. So women who entered before 1990 are receiving 12% less income, which is quite big. But
you're using the H-square to capture the curve?
Yes, exactly, because we saw that the age profile is a quadratic function, and this is also showing the same profile of the age income. And, well, then, this is just a dummy for questions. So did the person enter the labor market before or after 1990? But in our argumentation, it is not important that people in some way are discriminated because they received some communist education, but it is also about their skills. They are not speaking English, they don't know much marketing, they don't understand much management, and so on. And this is also related to the quality of jobs they could do. And for that reason, we are looking at the different type of jobs, different types of education. Here we can see primary education, secondary education, and university education. The nice feature is that people who had only primary education and entered before 1990 the job market are actually better off. They receive 15% more income than otherwise because they have some experience. They have in some way some better position. They are incumbent in the market. While people who had either the final exam, the Abitur, or even the university education have something like 7-8% lower income. And this is not very different whether they had just the final exam, the Abitur, or whether they had also the university education, which is also very plausible in my eyes. So this story is actually very nice because if we expect some differential, we would expect it for people who received some education, some better education, not just primary education, because these people were actually not good in the school, so they just didn't learn anything. There was also not much possibility how the communist ideology could influence them very much. But here people are really missing the languages, marketing, management, and stuff like that in the education, and it has important impact on the education. Well, we are doing some more estimations. So here we are also looking at each different years because we have many people who started education before 1990 and then they finished 2, 3, 4 years after the economic reforms. So this should be in some way be also considered that we don't have in some way a very unique difference. So for that reason, we made here the difference how many people education they had before 1990, how many education year after 1990. We can see here quite significant difference. So this is something like, this is much higher. But it can be, it cannot be interpreted so easily like the previous coefficient. But the differences are quite large. We also looked whether it is really for people who entered the labor market in 1990. I don't know whether there are some people with some good knowledge of statistics. This can be tested by the so-called structural break test and by the so-called CHO test. And we estimate then a simple version of this CHO test. We get different coefficients for the dummy variables showing the entrance to the labor market, and we can see that this was the highest coefficient. So actually, this year, which we identified a priori, because we assumed that it could be something about the economic reforms, was also confirmed by the test. And then we can go to the housing world. And we use quite a complicated model. Because when we are speaking about the housing world, then we have to estimate two different equations at the same time. So first, we have a property. The probability that we have a property is higher if we have higher income. And then we have to estimate also the value of the property. And the problem is that this is in some way influenced. So people who have much higher income usually have also much higher probability that they have a property, and they have also property which is more valued. So this is in some way a difficult way how to estimate it, and Heckman received a Nobel Prize for the way how to do it. His original application was not about the housing but about the labor market, because in the labor market we have also many times similar questions. So when people are looking for the job, so it is more likely that I find a job if I am better educated, and then I will have also higher probability that, I will most likely have a higher wage. So this is in some way originally coming from this side. We estimate it here, and we find quite important impact. And what is here most interesting, it is this variable. So basically, we can see that income is positively influencing the value of the property, also the likelihood that we have a property. And people who entered the labor market before 1990 are something like 10 to 13% more likely. They have properties which are 10 to 13% more valued today, which is quite significant income difference. Oh, not income difference, but wealth difference. And well, basically, by this we have two different sides of these problems. So we can see that people have lower wages, but they have better properties. And the question is whether this has some implications on the consumption. We estimate the consumption. I will just come now to the summary. And well, we can find that in the consumption function, actually, there is less difference than in income difference. People who are 40 now, or during our analysis, had 7% less income, but only 5% less consumption. So there is already, in some way, improving the situation. And well, the problem is that the consumption is not including better consumption of the apartment. So this has to be actually additionally estimated. And if we have some more valuable property, more expensive property, that also means that we consume more. We can divide the value of this price differential of the property, value differential of the property by something like 40 years. And then we receive how much better consumption we have. And when we do this, we get something like a 5.5% difference. And well, this is just by chance. But the very nice feature is that people have consumption which is 5% less. But if we include also the better value of the property which they have into the consumption function, then they have 5% more consumption. So that means that these two different effects which we were discussing are of equal size, nearly equal size. There are many differences on the individual level, but when we look just at the aggregate numbers, it seems that there is no big difference regarding the welfare of population in Slovakia from different groups. So this is in some way quite nice conclusion of our paper, which also explains why it was quite important to provide the properties to the household. And this is a nice explanation of this mass privatization scheme. And well, maybe it was discussed several times whether this was in some way necessary or not. Also, when we started the discussion with the voucher privatization, this was also discussed whether it should be done or not. But actually, it was quite important to give something, some additional present to the population, just to stabilize the economic development, just to show that the economic reforms are not imposing costs on people, but they have also some positive implications for them. The effects of communism were too different, and we cannot include all the effects. So what I'm actually even much more concerned is about the effects on career of the different people. So many people, for example, couldn't achieve the education because they were from bourgeoisie and they were not allowed to go to the university. So that is something which is not included here. But it is in some way quite hard, but we cannot analyze it with our data. But just simply looking at the changes in 1990, we can just ask, what was the welfare situation of the people? Are now the people better off or are they worse off after the reforms? And I believe that for this question, we identify the most important channels. About what happened in 1940s, well, it is completely a different question, and it should be done also with completely different data.